Hey, you looking to get pushed, buddy? Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon. I'm Max.
I'm Chris.
For God's sake. And we're joined by Kai again.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Not too bad, thank you.
We just recorded the intro twice, so that's why all that. I don't think he actually says that in Pusher. But he really should.
Yeah.
How are we all feeling? All good in the hood?
Yeah, all good.
Feeling pushed.
Feeling pushed to push these reviews of Pusher.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3. Watch them all in one sitting in the dark. I thought they were going to be English, but they're not. Director, I guess we should just fucking get right into it then.
Yeah, I don't think there's
nothing else to talk about. I haven't done anything else. This is all I do.
How have you been since you were last on, Kai?
I've been all right, yeah. Been living my life, just chilling.
Nice.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah.
Passed your driving test?
I did, yeah.
New car.
Can legally drive now. Drive a nice little Clio.
Very nice, yeah, I've seen it.
Covered in cobwebs.
Yeah, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. Yeah, no Darcy this week. She's off being selfish and seeing her family. So it's the boys, baby. The boys are back. I knew I'd slip it in eventually. And yeah, I guess we better just get right into it. These are movies from acclaimed director Nicholas Winding Refn, or Winding Refn, whatever you want to call him.
Was it last episode we talked about Drive?
Yes, last episode we talked about Drive. And also we've talked about Bronson, his other movie. And that's it, I think.
Yeah.
For what we've seen of his. How are we feeling about this marathon? Top level thoughts. And about Nicholas himself. Pretty good director.
Yeah, I've not seen any of his movies that I've disliked so far.
No, me neither. Even like The Neon Demon was fucking weird, but that had its quirks. I actually quite like that one.
I messaged Chris about that the other day, and I was like, I can vaguely remember parts of it. And I was like, I remember Keanu Reeves being like a sleazy motel owner with like a tiger.
Yeah.
But that's literally all I can remember. Really.
I remember Quinn from Dexter being in it.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, he's like some weird photographer.
Right.
I remember
that. Yeah.
That's about it.
That's just a fucking weird one, to be honest.
Yeah, it was strange.
But we're talking about Pusher, his some early movies from him, the trilogy, all three of which he directed. I guess we better just take it away.
Yeah, so the first one is Pusher from 1996, his debut, I believe.
Right, very early then.
Yeah. So the film's about a drug pusher called Frank, who after a drug deal goes wrong, which involves the police, him getting arrested, he owes a huge debt to this gang.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the movie, him trying to pay back this gang, but every time he tries to get money together, some shit goes down.
He's got to pay or pay some other way. It's an interesting one, I think. I don't think I've seen a Nicholas Winding Refn movie that's not in English, so I forget that he is not of that variety.
Yeah, I don't think he has many.
No, yeah, these are all not English, but I think I had a good time with it overall. I think the marathon itself and the movies are pretty solid. They're fine enough to watch back to back. I don't think they're not overly long. They don't outstay their welcome. This one's pretty solid, I thought.
Mm.
For the most part, I think the whole trilogy is quite solid.
Yeah, I think it's fairly consistent. They're all about 1 hour 40, so they're kind of all pretty short to the point.
Mm-hmm. You got Mads coming in.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen, who's one of the best to ever do it. He's probably one of my favourite actors, actually. He brings such a fucking... He looks weird, so I'm into it like immediately. But he's like... He does some weird stuff over this... I mean, he's only in 2 of them, but... I thought this first one was going to be about him.
Yeah,
it's about this fucking Frank guy. I don't care about Frank, but I guess I sort of go along with it. Like, he's fine enough. He's fine enough, I guess, until I get to the real reason I'm here.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen was good, I thought, in both the films. I think the second one especially. But I liked his little sort of... It was a bit of a cameo, really, in the first one, isn't he? He's only in it for, what, like the first 20 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Yeah. As soon as, like, it's... I thought it was, like, gonna be about him, and then when it stopped being sort of about him, I was like, oh, okay. I gotta, like, look at Frank. I don't really care about Frank. It's like... He's like a dick. And like the whole movie, you're like, he's got to do some stuff. I don't know, like, if this would be a criticism against the movie, because I just don't like him. I don't like him as like a guy. that you're supposed to root for. But I don't know if like we were supposed to root for him, or if it was just like this, the all these movies are like character studies to devoted to like a singular character that we meet across the trilogy. And I guess probably I'm not really supposed to like any of them because they're all pretty seedy people. I mean, when you get into the territory of like drug pushing, it's like, well, you know, these people, and they're not like the best drug pushers. So I guess there's like, there's some comedy in that, but like not enough for me to be like, I hope they succeed, because I kind of don't want them to succeed ever.
Yeah. It's kind of, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Uncut Gems, and how that's a movie that kind of shows this character who's kind of pushed himself in a corner, but the whole movie is like, yeah, he kind of, he's done this to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I thought Frank was the most like redeemable of the three protagonists across the trilogy.
No, really?
Yeah. Because I don't know, like, to begin with, he's, yeah, he sells drugs, but I don't think he does anything too horrible. Like, and like when it shit gets heavy and it's starting to hit the fan a bit, he's like kind of reluctant to push people into like giving him the money, even still at that point. Like, basically he has to go and find people that owe him money to try and collect that to give to this like top guy. And they go along with like a bodyguard of one of the top guys.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're going to rob a bank then? Like, here's a gun, go and rob a bank. And Frank's like, he can't rob a bank. Like, look at him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, don't make him rob a bank. But obviously, if he doesn't rob the bank and get the money, Frank's fucked anyway. So, no, I thought he was probably the most redeemable. And you could tell he cared about, was it Vic, his sort of on-off girlfriend?
Yeah.
You could tell he cared about her, but I think it was more in like a friendly way than it was like a romantic way.
Kind of,
He couldn't take him to a romantic place with her because she's a prostitute. I don't know. It was a very strange relationship, but I think at his core, he probably cared about her and his friends. You could see how upset he was when Mads like betrays him and talks to the police because it batters him.
Yeah. Badly. I felt like he could have just gone about things in a different way that would have probably made him a bit more amicable to me.
Yeah.
Because he does, like, I get what you're saying, but also like his reactions to it were where I was like, oh, he's kind of a dick though. Like, he's a massive dick.
He's still not a great guy, but I think compared to Mads' character, and then especially the last character, I thought he was a total piece of shit.
So I think
compared to those two, in hindsight, Frank was probably the nicest one of the three, in my opinion. But
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, I look at it like, maybe you're right. But it's like, you know, these are like really low people. I don't think you're supposed to like them at all, really.
I don't think so.
Not a lot. Definitely not.
But I really like Kim Bodnia, who plays him. I think he did a really, really good job.
Yeah, they feel like they're in this world. They're all really good actors. Yeah. It has that like grit to the movie, or like throughout these movies, where I much prefer something that feels a bit more realistic if it's going for a tone like this than something that's quite hyper Hollywoodized, I guess, that you might expect to see nowadays. Like The Boys is quite...
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of faux gritty, but it's like the Pusher is like what The Boys should sort of look like. It looks a bit more DIY and it looks a bit more down in the dirt.
It's almost documentary at some point. It's like with the handheld camera especially, it just feels like you're put into this world. And the character, you see like a snippet, like a week in Frank's life, I guess. And then after that, I was thinking about like what would happen to Frank afterwards, because the film ends on somewhat of a cliffhanger, I guess. Like you don't know what Frank happens to him, basically. So I'm like putting pieces together in my head, like, oh, I wonder if he did this, I wonder if he did that. So that's when you know it's like a sort of, you've been sucked into it and you can feel like the reality of it all when you're thinking about the character as someone separate after the film's ended.
Yeah, I thought that was like very conclusive though, like at the end of the movie. I was like, I didn't really feel like he was going to get out of it.
No.
I thought like he kind of had that like far off stare, and you sort of knew that there were threads that he needed to close by the end of it that weren't closed. So I thought like just him sort of standing on the street going, just sort of staring and kind of wondering about what he could have been doing or how he could have escaped. I was like, well, you're fucked now, aren't you? Because you tried to fix something that couldn't really be fixed.
Yeah.
We were all screaming at the TV, just run, just fucking run, man, just get out of the country. Yeah. We're all screaming at the TV, and then he didn't. And we're like, well, now we know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I kind of like how they don't like definitively say whether he lives or dies. It's kind of, it is kind of ambiguous in a way, but at the same time, I feel like it is, like you said, it is quite definitive.
Yeah. I like a movie that like, you know exactly what's going to happen so that, and the movie knows that you know what's going to happen, so it doesn't need to show you that.
Yeah, it like ends with them like putting down like the plastic wrap on the ground, And I feel like at that point, you're just like, even if he carries on running, there's no way he can escape it.
Yeah, he's going to be plastic wrapped.
I don't know if it was like a tongue-in-cheek line in the second film, but the Milo character, who's like the top guy, he shows up for like one scene, and he's speaking to Mads' character, and obviously they were like friends. And he has like a throwaway line where it's like, I wonder where Frank is. Like, he's not in Denmark. And I was like, do they know he's like, they are they implying they've killed him? Or is that like, where is Frank? Like, genuinely, what happened to him? Where did he go? He still owes me money. So, yeah.
That's good. That is a good line.
It was just like a bit intriguing.
Or it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Something I think this film does really well that I think like all like the best like gangster and crime movies does is like all these characters kind of exist in their own world. Like, I feel like they don't really interact with the public, really. They're kind of just all interacting with each other. So it kind of feels like, although it does exist in some form of reality, it's like an underworld. They have their own section.
Yeah, it does put you into that. I like something that gives you a sense of what this would kind of be like. But I also like they weren't professionals about it. They were all a bit shitty at what they were doing.
Yeah.
Frank especially is a terrible dealer. Like, how many people owed him money?
So many.
Like, there was about 10 people he visited. I was like, how does this many people owe you money? Like, get the money for the drugs you're selling them.
Yeah.
That's drug dealer 101, surely.
That does always confuse me in films. Like, in like Mean Streets, like characters who'd like just seem to buy drugs on a loan or something. Never seem to understand that.
Yeah, I know it happens. Like, especially if you're friendly with them. I'm not a drug dealer, just
FYI, you know, from your time on the streets.
Yeah. No, but I know, like, in this country anyways, it's called like macing drugs. You mace someone it, like, it means just loaning it to them, basically.
Okay.
You do it to friends, I think, mostly, and then their intention is, I'll mace you this now and you can pay me for it later, but I don't know how often that.
Right. I'm gonna brush past while you know that, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
Sure.
So like the main two are obviously Frank and Tony, played by Mads Mikkelsen. I don't know if like I got the sense that like they just had like really weird conversations that I feel like nobody would ever have. But it's like the movie is being told in such a way that these characters are quite heightened in like what they're about and and what they're doing. So like when they have these weird kind of stupid conversations, I'm like, this is kind of gross what they're talking about, but also like I get it. And like that, it didn't feel like inauthentic to the characters because they were just talking like a bunch of shit the whole time and they had no idea what they were doing most of the time. But when they were talking like at that restaurant, they were talking over like a meal, there was a fish in the tank and Mads Mikkelsen goes, hey fish, you get a lot of pussy? I'm like, okay. They're just like constantly talking about like sex and like
anal.
Yeah,
there's that scene right at the beginning where they're just driving and chatting.
Yeah. He was talking about like how he spermed on a girl and how he had to piss on her face to clean it off.
So grim.
Disgusting. Yeah. All these conversations, they're having them like out in the open. They're just like walking down the street having these rancid fucking conversations.
Classic lad behavior.
Do you think it was like a bit of compensation though? Because like you don't see any of them be like intimate with women the whole trilogy. No.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's them just chatting shit.
To me, there was a bit of like an undercurrent of like homosexuality kind of thing, like suppressed homosexuality.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the way they were talking, I was like, no one talks about sex like this. No. It's like you guys have never
had sex.
Nobody talks
about their cocks as much as these guys talk about their cocks.
2 15-year-olds talking about it. It's like you clearly haven't had sex. Like you don't know what you're talking about. You're just saying the mentalist things you can think of.
Yeah, well, I think there's definitely like a very like toxic masculinity sort of theme throughout all of these movies. Yeah. Like, these are characters who are kind of like the epitome of masculinity and like the worst sort of form.
Trying to be cool, trying to look cool. They're always wearing sunglasses, even though like they're in fucking Denmark and it's always overcast.
Yeah,
wearing sunglasses inside, sunglasses in the car. It's like, okay. They're just trying to look cool, trying to be the mans. Even though there's like one woman, maybe like two, that like have the most sense, sort of.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think Frank's girlfriend was probably the most sensible because you can tell she wanted to get out of that life. Like, she's the one egging him on, like, oh, we'll move to Spain.
Yeah.
And then when he, like, backs out of that at the last second, she just takes his money and runs.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
that is the smartest decision you could have made. Yeah. If he's not going to do it, like, fair enough.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a, like, great ending as well. Like, this final, like, fuck you to this character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of reminded me of the ending of Heat.
Yeah.
where there's like when a character makes a decision, or like the Northman, when a character makes a decision to go against this pre-supposed happy ending for them, they make the opposite decision to go back into this other world to get like either vengeance or like a sense of closure. It's like, there's no point, man. There's no point in doing that. You just have to, in these situations, you just have to leave. You just have to run away. And then in the end, you know, that's sometimes that'll hand you your own life.
Yeah. That's another reason I feel like Frank was one of the most redeemable. It's because like, I don't know, in my head, he had just a really bad upbringing and he can't see any life outside of drug dealing. And at the end, when Milo calls him, he's like, it's bad, we need to settle this. Like, it's bad business for both of us.
Mm.
He's like, oh shit, I can have my life back. Because that's all he sees. And it's like,
yeah,
oh, okay, I'll just go back to doing that. That's easy. I know how to do that. As opposed to going to Spain, living a different life.
In a foreign land.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing. Yeah, I guess so. That's abuse, baby. It's abusive relationships 101.
Yeah.
You guys were quite critical of the music while watching it.
I hated it.
It's bad. It's bad. All the music in all of these movies is bad. It's just straight up. I know you said that like they took fans' music.
Yeah, with, like, I think the second one he like got a load of fans to submit like samples on this like website. He picked like his favorite ones or something.
I appreciate that idea, but I don't like the integration of it within these movies. Every song sounds like the same thing. It's just like hard rock music that all sounds just like a blare of guitars and just drowns you out in the noise of it. It starts, all of these movies start with the same song, and every time I keep thinking it's Down With The Sickness by Disturbed, but it never is. But it all sounds like some worse variation of that throughout it.
I quite like the music, to be honest.
Was the first time hearing of it.
Yeah, no, I quite liked it. I thought it was very chaotic and like blaring. Like, I kind of liked how rough and gritty it was, especially like in the second one where it is like very amateurish sounding music. I think it kind of added to the movie for me. But I also completely understand what you guys are talking about.
Thematically, it's okay, I suppose. It's like a preference thing, I suppose. I just don't care for it.
I thought the score was shit as well, though. Like, even the songs that weren't like recorded songs, you know what I mean? Like, just like background score, I was like, this is awful.
And
it's just weird, like, synth.
Yeah.
With no sort of like purpose. This is very off-putting and strange. So maybe that was the point. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't really like any of that, any of it on like the musical side, I don't think. It just felt a bit too generic for me. Yeah. It was a shame. Because I do like overall how it's made, and like I like a lot of the decisions that they're making in this movie. I like that shot where they're being chased by the police and it just fucking follows them across the street as he's running just full pelt to try and get away from the police. That was like awesome. And a lot of like the camera decisions in this movie is like really well done, especially for like a first movie. I'm like, oh man, this is like really great.
Yeah, I think the use of handheld's really good. It kind of like feels like it's almost like guerrilla filmmaking. Like, especially like any scene they shoot in public, it feels like it is actually, they're just filming something that's actually happening. There's a real, really good sense of realism, especially in this movie, that I really like.
Just him like going into the pub and like glassing Tony over the face. Like, oh, it feels so real. Oh man, it's horrible. I thought he was dead, man.
Yeah, same. I definitely didn't think, I thought the second film was going to be a prequel.
Yeah.
A bit mad, I think, that it was like he beat him to death. He just did. He smashed him over the head with a glass, like a fucking, like a big, like picture. And then he's proceeded to whack him over and over again and kick him and, you know, baseball bat him. I'm like, this man is dead. He is dead. These people are only human. I feel like they sustained so much damage in this movie. It's like, you can't, lesser things have happened to beefier people. And they have died.
Do you think maybe he intended to kill him off, but then the idea for a sequel came up? So he was like, okay, maybe he just survived that.
Yeah, I think he might have done.
Yeah.
So I know he wanted the sequel to be about Frank.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't want to come back because they had a falling out after the movie.
That's a shame. It's a shame we didn't see Frank again, in my opinion. I would have liked the third film to kind of like wrap up that story. I think it would have been better than just the focus on.
Yeah, I think because they had a falling out, it was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do two movies about two different characters.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I think he pulled it off, like, ultimately with the whole trilogy. I think it's, like, quite solid and its execution. It's also like, this is like really violent as well. So yeah. I quite like this sort of gritty violence to the movie. I feel like I watched it and I was like, yeah, this is clearly by the guy who directed Bronson. I feel like he kind of almost refined how he shows violence in that movie more so than in this one. But it's still like the hits feel real and people feel like they're getting beaten to shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a lot rawer in this movie where he's not really completely found himself and developed his style yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like you were saying, like a bit more guerrilla filmmaking style and just like sort of seeing what goes, seeing what works. But I enjoy that in a movie sometimes more so than a deliberate stylistic choice. If it's going for something like this, which is quite, you know, the characters are very scattershot and everything is sort of like up in the air and they don't really know what they're doing. So it's follow suit that the style of the movie would also reflect the mindset of the characters in that way.
Yeah, definitely.
And the nipple electrocution.
Yeah.
It's all about that.
Yeah, that was a horrible scene.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that. I was like, this is uncomfortable. This feels too real.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
Who wants to see that? I don't want them to like show how they're doing it as well.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, we're going to unplug this like light from the wall, get the like strip the wire, and then we're going to like plug it in somewhere else, and then that's how. Like, you don't need to show it all, I don't think.
Yeah, because you see the whole process, don't you?
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's like, is that going to work?
Yeah. Not nice.
Can I do that now from watching this movie?
I quite liked that, like how drawn out it was, because it just made it like when it actually happened, it made it more effective, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. I sometimes take issue when movies show violence in such a way as to like overdo it a bit. I don't think they overdo it in this one, but like sometimes it's like it can be a concern.
Yeah, I think it can draw the line a little bit in this one.
Yeah, I like the when he's beating up Tony, they don't show it all that much.
Yeah,
he's like mostly he's on the floor, and clearly he's not actually on the floor, but he's like, you see him smashing him with the baseball bat, but he's clearly just like smashing a pillow or something.
Yeah, I think a lot of the violence is off screen, to be fair, because you've got Thomas Bolagen shows up in that scene and he like shoots himself in the head.
That was
a great
scene.
Actually see that, that's all like off screen, and then you just see like blood all over the wall.
I enjoyed that a lot, especially as I thought, because I know him quite a bit, Thomas Bolagen, from Vinterberg movies, that I thought he would play a bigger role when he showed up.
Yeah.
But then he was only there for that one scene, so when he blows his brains out, I was like, oh, fuck, man, that really hurt. hit hard. And, you know, the framing of it was really good. You just see the character's shock expressions and saw, like, they get splattered with blood a bit.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
It's a really great scene as well. I think it was one of my favourite bits in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Yeah. I love that guy. He can sell, like, anything.
Yeah. Same with Mads, though.
Yeah. One of the greatest of his generation, I think. I watched Rogue One again recently, just for him. Like, oh, he's so good. He can do anything, I feel.
I still need to watch Hannibal, actually.
Yeah.
I've heard that's a good show.
That's a good show.
Yeah. I really struggled with it.
I think it's one of those shows, yeah. Sort of splits people.
Yeah, but the people that love it really love it, so I'll probably give it another go just to see if I can get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just struggled with it.
Well, he's great.
Yeah, to be fair, he was the standout part of it.
Yeah, I watched that like the first time, and I was like, "Oh, he's all right. He's okay. Hannibal, he's fine." They're saying he's sort of alluding to the fact that he's doing all this, but it's like, no, he's not. He's he's clearly just
a solid guy.
He's a solid guy. Yeah, I'd bat for him. He's all right.
Can't say that about Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, though.
No, he's
you see him bite someone's face off.
Yeah, that's pretty mad. That's a great movie. But yeah, Pusher. We have anything more to say on Pusher? The first Pusher?
I don't think so, no.
Made me think of Pusher T a lot.
Legit.
Mm.
Legit. As soon as it was recommended, I was like, ah, Pusher T. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Thanks, Pusher T. And thanks for all the chat about anal and all that stuff. That was great. I guess we'll rate it out of Pusher T's then.
Okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I would definitely watch it again, I think. Probably all three of these, to be fair. I could see myself doing this marathon again. So yeah, I'll give it like 8 Pusher T's out of 10.
Yeah, it's solid. I don't know if I would race back to watch it.
No, I probably wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't know, would I watch this again? Maybe I'd give it a chance later down the line, but I still had a really good time with it. And, you know, it's probably one of the more consistent marathons that we've done. So I'm pretty grateful for that. I'll give it 8 Pusha T's out of 10 also.
Yeah, this one was my favourite one of the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. So I probably got like 9 Pusha T's out of 10, to be honest. I really liked it. I've got a thing for films like this, though. You know, like, where it's like you just see like a character just make mistake after mistake. And it's just getting into more carnage.
So
and it just ratchets up the tension. Then by the end of the film, I'm just sat there like a mess. I just love it.
Those are the best, yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that get me.
Okay, Pusha T? No, Pusha 2. This one, fuck's sake. This one came out in 2004. It was directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, and it is part of the Pusha trilogy, the second of those. What would you know? This is about Mads Mikkelsen. He survived to make another one. Tony is back, baby, and he is he's been shaking bars for months, man. He's back. He's out of prison, and he's like, "Dad, I want a job. Give me a job, Dad. I've reformed my ways." And his dad's like, "You're a disappointment, and I hate you. And also you have a child now." And there was a woman who says, "You are the father of my child. And he says, "I don't know about that. I do not know." It's all about drugs and selling drugs and Tony making his way in the world again and sort of getting embroiled back in the old business of doing a lot of cocaine. They do a lot of cocaine in this movie. What do we think about this one, Pusha the Second?
I really loved this movie. This was easily my favourite of the trilogy. I had a really, really good time with it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's like sort of on par with the first one for me. I just think they're like really solid. It again starts with that Down with the Sickness beat, which is not that. Oh, they could have done something else. I don't know. I like the sort of intro where to all of these movies where it will show you the characters before. You watch the movie.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Here's Tony. Here's Ronnie. Here's Bonnie. And
the cunt.
And the cunt. Yeah, Kurt the cunt. Yeah, big draw to this movie. Yeah, but it's had a good time with it. And I think this is what I wanted from the first one, but only probably because Mads Mikkelsen was the main character.
Yeah,
you know, I just think he does like a really good job of selling this fucking weirdo. Where I'm more used to him playing characters who seem a bit more sophisticated. This one, he's like super fucking down in the dumps. He's like just a major disappointment, like through and through. And I guess it's just fun to watch people or like characters that just fuck up so much like the whole time.
Yeah. I like this one slightly less than the first one.
Yeah,
I know, controversial, but I don't know. It was something about it. It was like it lost the realism a little bit in the middle for me. There was one point where I think you said, Max, you were like, what's happening in this film? And at the exact same time in my head, I was thinking that because I was like, I don't really know what this is. Like, I've just seen this guy go around and everyone just called him a fucking loser and a knobhead and like, oh, you're shit. I hate you. And I was like, he can't be this disliked, this like universally disliked. Like, everyone just hates him for no apparent reason. Like, he is a shit person, but they're shit people as well.
Yeah.
And they all do the same shitty things, but for whatever reason, everyone just hates him. And I was like,
I think a lot of it probably comes down to the fact that he went to the police in the first movie.
Do you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. I haven't even thought about that the whole time I've been thinking about that film. Because, yeah, I guess if you're in that world, grassing is like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair point, actually. Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's actually brought me around on it because now it all makes logical sense in my head. I'm like,
I think the movie kind of like, it's kind of like a character study more so than the first movie. I feel like it's a little bit more grounded in a way.
You think?
I think so.
It's less like anxiety inducing.
Yeah, that's kind of what
like,
I mean.
There's not a succession of things that fuck this like this character's life up. It's more of like it's him trying to work through the shit that's already happened to him in his life.
Yeah, I think he's got a bit of a conflict between like going clean, like living a good like actual life and kind of still being in this world,
yeah,
which I found quite interesting.
I don't know if I would say it was more grounded because I do kind of agree with you, Kai, where you say that he like it felt a bit stupid, like people just like saying that he was shit and all that. I know we've established why they think that, but also I don't know if like you would go into every single room in whatever place you were in and everybody there was like, you're shit, you're a bastard. I think that like a lot of the people would just sort of keep that in and sort of like do some sort of private glare or something. But I enjoyed that it was a bit more heightened and a bit more like weird. And the fact that it was a bit plotless, more so to give a character study a bit more of a go. I enjoyed that, but I was also like, what is happening though? Like, I don't really understand what the fuck is going on. And especially because like they are doing coke in every scene.
Yeah.
Every single scene they're doing coke. And it's like, well, I don't know if that would really happen. It does feel a bit heightened and a bit more wacky than the first one in that way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of excessive in a way, but like intentionally so, I think.
They lead excessive lifestyles.
Yeah, exactly. I think the violence is a little bit, they go a bit further with that. Obviously, like the film starts with like a scene where he's trying to have sex with these two prostitutes, but he can't get a boner because he's done too much coke. And they're like watching porn. He's like slapping his dick, trying to make it hard.
Yeah.
That's kind of like crazy shit that this movie's doing that maybe the first one didn't do.
I like that a lot though. I like that scene. And I guess it was like, I enjoyed it more because I've never seen Mads Mikkelsen do that kind of thing before, where it feels a bit more disgusting and gritty. Yeah. Even though like Hannibal is quite a disgusting show, but like he's very well mannered and put together in that show, but in here it's like he's like a fuck up and he's a disappointment, and it's just I like exploring him in that way a bit more.
Yeah, I think I struggled to get on board with him a little bit more than I did with Frank. I came around to him towards the end of the film, but at the start he was just like horrible for like, I don't know, Frank was horrible, but you could tell he like gave a shit about people. Whereas with the Mads character, I was a bit like, oh, I don't know, I feel like this guy just doesn't really care about anyone other than himself. Like when he finds out he's got a son, he's like, nah.
Yeah, totally.
Nah, no,
I
don't.
Yeah, I think he's almost like a bit of a sociopath throughout the movie,
I
think.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the end, he kind of turns around a little bit with his kid, obviously, when he like runs off with them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of like his turning point where he is kind of trying to grow and accept who he is and just move past like the criminal side and try and be clean and live an actual responsible adult life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're talking about the ending, I really like that ending. I actually thought, I agree that he's trying to find a way to reform. And in that, I felt like it was a bit more hopeful than any of the other endings to any of these movies, where I don't feel like there was any way to come back from that first one for older... fuck Frank. But in here I'm like, well, it's sort of, I get a sense that he feels like he's done something wrong and he wants to make it right, and I get that sort of theme of I like movies where like a guy has to look after a kid, so it's like then there's like a sort of redemption in that where like the kid makes the guy better. Interestingly, I've never seen it done with a woman. I guess men are just more fucked up and need redeeming in that way. A child would do that to them. Maybe that's a kind of movie I would like to see, actually, to like reverse the roles in that way. But yeah, I definitely got a more open-ended idea of what would happen at the end of this movie than I did in any of the others. And I suppose that's probably what heightened it for me, because it left a more positive taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot more of like a cathartic ending. Obviously, like his dad's a piece of shit throughout the whole film, and he's just looking for his dad's approval, and his dad's only cares about his like younger brother.
Yeah.
And everyone says it as well. Like, oh, that's the one he cares about. Like, that's the one he gives a shit about.
Literally at like the wedding scene or like after the wedding, and they're at this bar and the dad's making a speech, and he's talking about the brother getting married, but he has to work in the fact that he is also very disappointed of Tony, his other son. Like, why did you have to say that? And like this whole time, I don't know why he stays there for that long, but I guess like the same sort of deal with Frank. It's like, this is his world. This is the only thing he knows. If he goes elsewhere, what the fuck is he going to do?
Yeah.
So he kind of has to be there and take shit from these people.
I think that's when it started to work for me, because you could see that he saw his kid as like a way out. He's like, I don't want my kid growing up like I did. I want him to have a better life. or she, I don't know what gender the baby was. No,
and such a great scene when he like takes the kid as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like he sees just like the bridesmaids doing a bunch of coke in this fucked little apartment, and the baby has been placed just on the floor.
Yeah, just behind away. The sofa as well, so they can't see it.
Yeah. I'm going to place the baby away behind the sofa and let's do a bunch of coke. You got any cigarettes? He's like, fuck. Jesus, man. Like, of course he took the child, even.
That was another scene that made me laugh because the bride does so much cocaine. She has a nosebleed.
Yeah.
And she just starts calling him an idiot. But you're such a fucking idiot. I hate you. And I was like, you were the one that sniffed all the cocaine. Like, he's done nothing here. Why are you shouting at him?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a lot of shit thrown at him. There's a lot of shit. He finds out his mum died like 8 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was horrendous.
That was a horrible scene to watch.
That also spoke to like the fact that, well, clearly he didn't care all that much about his mum if he hadn't seen her for the last 8 months. But also to like have that realization is just like, oh, gut wrenching. Mm.
And then when his dad's taking him to kill the dad's like mistress or whatever, who's had the younger son. Because she wants custody of the baby, and he's like, oh, I don't want him to be stuck with a crazy person like your mum was. And I was like, you just found out his mum's died. Like, why are you dragging her name through the mud in front of him straight away?
Yeah.
I love that scene where he like just can't go through with it. Yeah. And he goes back and tells his dad that, and his dad just like snaps at him, calls him a disappointment.
Slaps the shit out of him, doesn't he?
Yeah. That was a very cathartic scene as well.
Yeah.
He sort of takes back himself a bit. Whereas before, I suppose he was trying to live up to his father.
Yeah.
It was like he, you know, literally killing him is like to free yourself from those expectations.
Yeah. And I think it was quite, again, I'm like a sucker for this kind of thing, but like the first scene of the film is him talking to like his cellmate in prison, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like talking about like fear and how like you have to overcome fear to like start the next stage of your life and like show who you really are. And obviously he's terrified of his dad and disappointing his dad. And it just gets to the point where he's like, oh, fuck this, and just kills him with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just born again. Do you know what I mean? He takes his kid, he runs away, they get on a bus. And it's like, I feel like you could potentially have a good life if you don't fuck it up.
Mm. I think the film does a good job of showing that the character is kind of, he is a bit of a piece of shit, but they do a good, really good job of kind of showing the environment that he's been raised in and kind of where that's come from and what made him the way he is.
Mm.
I think that made the character a lot more interesting for me than Frank in the first one.
See, I'm on the other end of that because I think they kind of, in this film, beat you over the head with it a little bit too much. Whereas with Frank, a lot of it was implied.
Mm, that's
and it's
fair
like
enough.
Little lines that kind of, I don't know, in my head I was making this whole backstory for him.
Yeah.
Whereas
I
feel like in this one it's just all laid out there and you know exactly why Tony is the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just personal preference.
I get that.
Still a great film.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. Yeah, totally. They call like, nobody treats like women properly in any of these movies.
No.
which like really was quite a bugbear for me. I don't know if it's like a sign of the times. This is like early 2000s. I don't know I suppose it was like they were trying to show this seedy world and these people are like complete assholes. Of course they're going to treat women this way. But like nobody has a single nice word to say about fucking any of them. They just go to such lengths to like literally showing them being choked, calling them whores the whole fucking time. Just showing them as like neglectful or fucking just like pieces of shit. It kind of, I was like, well, I don't know if you needed to go that far with it.
Yeah.
Especially as like the previous one didn't with Frank's girlfriend. She was like at least on a level, but like everybody here was either like fucking stupid or like the worst person in the world.
I found the women in this film a lot more cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we love cocaine.
Yeah.
That was their whole character was, we love doing cocaine. Yeah. And anything that gets in the way of us doing cocaine is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so like, I don't know, I just felt a bit one-dimensional.
Yeah, totally. Totally. They play like a song in this. It's like a synthy song, but they play it like 3 or 4 times. And every time they fucking played it, it's very distinct. But like, every time they fucking played it, I was like, oh, it's this song again. And where I felt like the previous movie, it had like, shitty music, okay, but like I don't think they were playing the same fucking song over and over again. But with this one, it's like it just kind of beats you over the head with it. And in scenes where like I don't even think it was needed, it's like, oh, I guess he's walking through the bar, play that synth song again. Like, well, I don't know if you need that.
Yeah,
I read a fact that apparently a lot of the the people in the movie, like the actors aren't actually really actors. They're like real life criminals he hired for the movie.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't know who he plays, but there was someone in the movie who apparently was arrested for smuggling heroin not long after the movie.
Wow. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely adds to the realism, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was getting that realism from it, that these people did exist in this world. They never felt like actors.
Yeah. I think in like the first film, there was like an interview. It's like a fairly famous interview with Nicholas Winding Refn, where like before the interview, he said to the interviewer not to ask him like how he made the film so realistic and how he knew everything about that. And that was the only thing they asked him. And he like apparently gets really awkward and quiet and doesn't say anything.
Yeah. You don't need to know these things.
Yeah. I feel like he definitely probably spent a lot of time in that world and around these people.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Which must be quite uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. But I think it adds to it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's the films are better for it. Because it's not like a shit on Guy Ritchie a lot, but
yeah,
his films are just the worst. It's like cartoonish gangsters, and they all
like he wants to be part of that world, exactly. But nobody will fucking let him in there.
And it's just like, oh, shut up, you knobhead.
Yeah. It's all like that. This is like the polar opposite of fucking all that, like Snatch and all that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, this is kind of what those movies want to be. I think.
Literally, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, this is Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, if it was like good and realistic.
Yeah.
If they sort of knew what they were doing, or like knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
About like Nicholas Winding Refn was embroiled in this world, and they probably just gave him a bunch of coke.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Or I thought about like Scorsese, how he made like some of his movies where he just like, he was in that world for a long time before making the movies.
Yeah.
It adds a bit more authenticity to it.
100%.
Didn't they consult with like the real life mafia for The Godfather or something like that? So I heard that they were somewhat involved.
Yeah, they tried to be. So apparently Coppola got a lot of pushback and they were like, we want this in the film, we want that in the film. Coppola had to be like, I can't really say no to you guys, but I'm not doing it. So he had to like find other ways to please them. But yeah, apparently the mafia are quite, especially in America, they'd like to get involved in mob films and sort of portray themselves as like nicer people than they are, I guess. Yeah.
Mad stuff.
Yeah. I love there was like a child in the movie, and as soon as like it came onto the screen, kind of was like, it just looks like a small man. he said he has the body of a small man and the head of a child. It was like, so like a child.
No, because he had a very like manly figure.
Yeah, he did.
He was like a built kid.
He was wearing layers. It was cold.
Nah, he was a built.
He was like a Hasbulla sort of thing.
it was a bit of a Hasbulla type thing. I saw him and I was like, you're not a child. Like when he first comes in that garage, I was like, who's that little man?
Oh my God.
Why is he holding hands with everyone? What's going on? And I was like, oh, it's a child.
I didn't think that at all. I thought you were fucking insane. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Just a kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Why was there like a stripper at the wedding reception?
Oh yeah.
It was funny.
Yes, that's just what they do. Yeah. I don't know.
The Danish thing.
Yeah. There's a bunch of shit in this movie. It's just like, okay, I guess they're doing that now.
Yeah.
Like every single scene they were committing a crime, pretty much.
Yeah. Someone does cocaine while they're having a shit.
Yeah.
that was crazy.
Yeah.
Just like there's a knock at the door, he flushes the cocaine immediately.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck did you do that? I thought it was the police.
Worst drug dealers ever.
There's a really fun car heist scene in there where they break into a car dealership and steal all the cars.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, is it really that easy to just do that?
Yeah.
Nowhere is safe.
I feel like the films are a lot funnier watching it with you guys than it probably would have been on my own.
Totally.
Maybe.
I don't know if maybe they were just funnier films than I expected them to be, but I was laughing quite a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this one especially is like really quite comedic.
Mm-hmm. I think when we're in like a group dynamic, there's like comedy to be found in pretty much every movie that we watch, because it's just like the fact that we're all together and like enjoying it is probably, or like even if you like fucking hate a movie, there's comedy to be found in that. But yeah, I don't know if I would have had as much fun if I was not watching this with you guys.
Maybe.
Yeah, it would have been interesting, actually. Maybe I'll, like, in a few years, I'll watch them all on my own and let you guys know. I'd be like, yeah, it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm like, well, would I revisit these movies probably not like very soon, because I know, and if I was to do it on my own, I just don't think I would have had as much fun, or like, and maybe it's like the enjoyment factor of the movies is like a symptom of that. But apart from the fact that they're just like really good movies anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that does heighten it for sure.
Yeah,
I feel like
definitely.
Every time like we do a marathon together, it's a bit more fulfilling or fruitful than when we do marathons just on our own.
Yeah, definitely.
Should we rate the movie?
Yeah, sure. What are we going to rate this one out of?
Kurt the Cunt.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I really loved this movie. I think out of all of them, I could see myself like revisiting this, like just as a standalone movie. Because I think it does, I think all of these actually kind of, they stand on their own, although characters kind of are like recurring. I think they kind of are all telling their own different story. They're all doing different things. This is definitely my favorite of the three. Look at it. 9 Kurt the Cunts out of 10.
Yeah. Gotta love that scene where he's trying to get some money for drugs, and he goes and he's like, nah, that's not enough. And like, he goes back to Kurt the Cunt and he says, yeah, it wasn't enough. And then Kurt the Cunt says, that dries up the cunt. 8 Kurt the Cunts out of 10. Really enjoyed it. And I really love Mads Mikkelsen as the main figure this time.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I'll probably go 8 Kurt the Cunts out of 10 as well. Had a good time with it. But yeah, I feel like it wasn't maybe as realistic as the first one. Maybe a little bit more on the cartoony side. But again, that might just be my personal preference. I don't know. Definitely recommend it though.
I read that apparently like the sequels that he made, he never obviously intended to make them. He made like a film called Fear X, which was like his first English language movie, and apparently it was a huge flop. Mm-hmm. So to like save the film company he owned, he decided to do 2 sequels. To like make money back, basically.
That's cool.
Was the first one like a relatively big hit?
Yeah, it was a really big hit, apparently.
Okay, cool.
Nice. He's so great, honestly. I really like him. I've got to watch his series that he got on Prime, the Too Old to Die Young or whatever.
Yeah, and he got Copenhagen Cowboy on Netflix, which I think is like the first Danish thing he's done since the third Pusher movie.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll have to watch that. I don't have Netflix anymore, but like we've got it at work, so maybe I'll have to like stay after work one day and just watch it. I might have to start doing that to catch up. But yeah, okay, Pusher 3. Do you want to introduce Pusher 3, Kai?
Yeah, can do. Pusher 3. It's about like the big kind of crime boss of the that was in the first two films. He's a bigger role in the first one.
Yeah,
he's the guy Frank owes money to. Is it Milo or Milo?
Milo, I think.
Milo,
played by the old guy in Triangle Sadness.
Yeah, the old Russian guy in that. But yeah, he's basically trying to plan his daughter's 25th birthday party, but he's also got a big drug shipment that was meant to be heroin, but when he gets it, it's ecstasy, which later on in the film turns out to actually be candy. And he's just trying to juggle the two basically in a really, really stressful day whilst also trying to be sober.
It was like that episode of Sunny in Philadelphia where they do that one shot
where Charlie's trying to like sort all the shit out. Like that.
I thought it was just gonna be like about him making food. I was like, I'm so up there, I'm so ready just to see him like get insanely stressed over food. I just watched season 2 of The Bear and I was like, I'm so up for like just some guy getting insanely manic over having to make food. But it wasn't that, sadly.
Yeah, it like kind of starts off like the first like half the movie is like him cutting between like trying to make food for his family for this party, but also this big drugs shipment. And there was like, I think, a lot of comedy in that, like him like trying to rush back and forth and do both, and like just the pure stress caused by that.
Yeah, totally.
I do kind of wish the whole movie was like that, because that section I was like really, really loving it, and then afterwards it did, I wouldn't say it lost me, but I just wasn't quite as invested in it.
It lost me.
Yeah.
As soon as I really wanted it to be, because the first like 40 minutes of the film, I'd say, is him trying to plan that. He's got the drug shipment, and you see him at like Narcotics Anonymous meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really hope this film's about this old guy who wants to get out of this life, live a clean life, like provide for his daughter, make sure she has a nice life. And then as soon as it came back to, oh, he's done a really bad decision because he's a shit drug dealer and now he owes these people money and he has to do them a favor. I was like, oh, you've lost me completely. It's like, it's just a retread of the first film, but just not as good, in my opinion.
That's sort of why I wanted them to like pull it back and like have it be about something just completely fucking different.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's got to make food for like 50 people and probably more. There's like a bit of this that I quite like where it's about the stresses of having to be with your extended family.
Mm.
I like movies and TV that kind of tackles that. But I guess I would have liked it to have been a bit more grounded as a contrast to the second one. Because when they're showing him like killing guys and fucking cutting people into bits, I'm more like, well, I don't know that you needed to like show that as much as you show it. And also, I don't know if it really added to what I would have wanted the movie to be overall.
Yeah, I feel like this film crossed the line into sort of just pure nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end when he now has to do a favour for these like Albanians, I think they were, who are like the top guys that he reports into and he sort of deals with. He fucks up. He can't get his ecstasy back and he can't get the cash to them. They're like, okay, you have to do a favour for us now. And then the package comes in and it's like a girl who's being sold into like, I don't know, sex work. That was horrible, just really uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't enjoy this. It's like,
no, that was gross.
Yeah. It's, and the way the I guess her pimp talks about her, I was like, this is just vile. I hate this. This is not enjoyable in any way.
That bit, yeah, I really wasn't vibing. When he like snaps and kills them and then it gets like really like horrific and gruesome.
Yeah.
That brought me in a little bit more, only because it was, I thought it was going like such a dark, like over the top sort of direction that kind of, it gripped me a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think it needed it.
No.
It was like,
I was see that
slowly falling
also.
Off as it went along. So like, they were like, oh, well, and she's 17 years old, right? And they're like, oh no, it's her birthday today. She's 18 years old. I'm like, oh, you don't like, I don't need to see this.
No.
So like, it's when she like tries to run away and he like has to catch her. Like bring her back. I'm like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and then I've got a funny thing about domestic violence in films anyways. For whatever reason, it really gets to me. But the Albanian guy, the pimp, just absolutely beating the shit out of her. I was like, this is
horrible.
I was scolding her hand with boiling water.
At that point.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this
is... Yeah, when he was burning her hand, I was like, enjoyable. Well, this is not... Who is this for?
Yeah.
It's not for me. I'll tell you that much. This is not... Yeah, I didn't appreciate it.
No.
I much more preferred it when it was a bit more grounded and just like the stress came from sort of things that you would deal with every day.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a really interesting, like, oh, he's trying to be sober, but he's also this big drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's an interesting concept. Like, you should explore that a bit more. But as soon as thing gets a little bit stressful, he just starts smoking heroin again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
And I don't know that anything like happened as a consequence of that.
No, exactly. Just, I guess maybe it's like the consequences. He's always going to be stuck in this life.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. It does kind of end on a quite depressing, dour sort of note where it's kind of just like, yeah, he can't get out even if he wants to.
That's not interesting though, I don't think.
I feel like a lot of films have done that.
Yeah.
And like where it's like, oh, this guy's just stuck in this life. There's no way out. Either they die or they're stuck in the life.
Mm.
But then... I don't know. Maybe that's because the film was always going that way anyways. So it came to its natural conclusion, but I would have preferred for the last film in the trilogy, I would have preferred to see something a little bit different as opposed to just, oh, a drug deal's gone wrong.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie where it's like this, where it's ended with them getting out and going clean.
Yeah.
Would have been nice to have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. God help the girl. Sort of that.
I literally remember nothing of that movie.
She gets out, man. I'll tell you that now. When he's talking to the fucking guy that he owes money to or something, and the guy says, this shirt is Hugo Boss, and he says, Hugo Booga. When you say that?
I like when someone says, this meat is raw, and he shouts back, your dick is raw.
Oh yeah, he gives all his guys food poisoning, doesn't he? Like, all his bodyguards and henchmen, they all just start throwing their guts up. I thought that was quite funny as well.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It's just that guy in the van who starts shitting himself.
Yeah, shits his pants. And then he still makes him open the gate for him. He's like, think with your head, who's going to open the gate now? Yeah. And this guy's just shat his pants. He's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
There's like this 5-10 minute like scene where they're talking and there's a guy just constantly throwing up in the background and won't stop.
Yeah, it's like, he didn't even care. It's like, no, we're just going to keep doing this while this guy's throwing up in the back. That's great. I liked all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a bit more in the first half of it where it was a bit more restrained and the comedy and the tension came from things that would just happen to like in real life without it being this heightened glorification, torture porn type thing.
Yeah.
I would have liked it to seen a bit more of his relationship with his daughter as well, because I think in his head, he has this impression of her of like really nice, innocent 25-year-old who's going places. And then it turns out she's essentially the top, her boyfriend's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And it turns out she's basically managing her boyfriend. And she like goes to her dad and starts sort of undercutting him so her boyfriend gets a better price for the drugs he deals. And I was like, that's quite interesting. I'd like to see a bit more of that, but kind of just gets dropped after that.
Yeah, it does.
I feel like The Wrestler is a kind of movie that's sort of like this thematically, that tackles it in a bit more of an interesting way.
Yeah.
That would probably be a bit more fulfilling than whatever we end up with here.
Yeah. Especially with how that like tackles the they'll never get out of this sort of life sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that, and again, like the music in this one was especially shit. Especially shit. There's like a song, and I know you know what I'm fucking talking about.
I know the exact one.
Every fucking time it came on, there's just this weird screeching sound that happened. Like somebody was like kind of yelling, but it was like distorted. It was so horrible to listen to, and like it never felt like it came at like regular beats. It was just like ever so slightly off. And I get what they were trying to go with. He's stressed out of his nut. He wants to do a bunch of heroin, but he's like trying to keep a hold of himself. But there are better ways to show that than with what they're doing here with the music. It is horrendous to listen to.
Yeah, it is bad.
Disgusting. I just hated it so much. And they play it again more than once, which does not need to happen.
It's a recurring theme, isn't it, in the second half of the film?
Yeah.
So anytime he's stressed or he's on the edge, that plays. Mm-hmm. And it just properly took me out of it. I was like, God, that is an annoying sound.
Yeah. We were there yelling. We were just complaining.
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
Reminds me of like a sound from the Yeezus album or something.
Literally, yeah. Yeah.
Very, yeah, just it's very strange use of music throughout, I thought. That like when he was like high, they played like this sort of John Williams, Harry Potter-esque type score. And I was like, what is happening? Why are we listening to this? Oh man. It only played when he was like high. And I was like, oh, it's to show that he's high. Yeah. I get it. But it's not like cleverly used.
No.
Shame. It's a shame. I think I talked when we were watching it about like how they show suffocation in film.
Oh yeah.
How they like put a bag over this guy's head and he's sort of suffocating. I was like, how do they actually do that? Because it's definitely not CG. They are clearly putting a bag over that guy's head. And I googled it and yeah, you just fucking do it apparently. You just do it for realsies. Very minute time frame though, like seconds at a time, and then cut. And then just like intercut it with like different shots.
I think it's the same with like if they hang people in movies and stuff.
They do it for real.
Yeah. Because remember when we talked about the Brendan Mummy. Fraser mummy?
Yeah.
I like found out the fact that he like passed out and almost died like in the hanging.
I thought that was like an exception though.
No, I think that's like just what they do to make it look real.
They just do it, yeah. That'd make it look real, all
these
right?
Crazy actors.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, it was mad. Because, it does look real. And obviously, it looks real because it fucking is real.
Mm.
I don't know like how you would, like, get across that either. Or, like, be like, well, it's like a CGI bag. I don't know. I don't think you could do that. I guess if it's all fine, then it's all fine. But it was like, whoa. Learning about that was, like, fucking wild.
Yeah, it's not the safest way to do it, is it?
No, well... I guess it is. It is the safest way because there's no other way to do it. These people are mad. These actors are fucking insane. I could never do it.
No.
I swear to God.
They freak me out so much.
Oh, dear. Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a lot else to say about this one.
It's sort of in and out. Just like a lot of shit happens, but like not really what, and like a lot of it is not what I would want from it.
Yeah, they disembowel a dead body at the end and like he tries to put the guts down the trash compactor.
Yeah, that was, I was watching that. I was like, what's the point?
That was a little bit excessive. Yeah.
It's clearly just animal guts at this point. Like there's nothing shocking about this anymore. Like I feel like the first film was the most shocking because like you say, a lot of it was off screen violent. Like you see a little bit of it, but most of it's off screen, so your imagination does the rest. Whereas this, a whole person gets disemboweled and I'm just like,
I show all those bags afterwards, like, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But it didn't get like any sort of visceral reaction from any of us, I don't think.
No.
No, I think we all just sat there like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Because when you see it and it's all there, what's to think about? Or like Like, what am I supposed to get out of it?
Yeah, I think at first I was like, oh, that's quite gross. And then it just kept going. I was like, okay, the shock value's just worn off now.
Yeah.
Shame. And it just goes on for like way too long. Like the whole movie felt too long.
Was it the longest one of the three?
I think so, yeah.
Didn't need to be.
No, definitely not.
In fact, I think it needed to be the shortest.
I think you could have done that in about 90 minutes, personally. Yeah,
maybe less.
Yeah.
Literally just cut out the top end, because I don't think really most of that needed to be in there. With all the disemboweling stuff.
No. Like, if you want to do it, fine, but it didn't need to go on for 15 minutes it went on for.
No, I don't think they needed to include like the guy getting his guts taken out. I don't think they needed to include the part with the girl getting sold. Just felt like it was in bad taste. Whereas in the first half, I felt like maybe it had a bit more promise. It just slowly degraded as it went on.
I guess they needed something to kind of, because he's not out of the life. He's still very much in it, but he's not as brutal as he was in the first film, it seems. Mm-hmm. And I guess they needed something extreme to kind of bring him back to that, where he's like willing to kill people and also get his bodyguard friend from the first film back involved as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, I think they could have found something better to do it with.
Yeah. It was maybe even a bit too much for the character, as I learned from him over the course of the movie. And then as soon as he like asks his mate to do him one last favor, and then they start gutting people, I'm like, well, I don't know if like, it just felt like too big a switch.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's like a happy little restaurant owner, the bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, I'm having a great life. I don't do anything illegal now. I just run my restaurant. And then there's like hardly any hesitation. He's like, okay, I guess I'll help you gut two men and put them in bin bags one last time.
He even says, I'm never helping you again. I'm out of that life. And he's like, well, what about if I said that it was for old time's sake?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you got me. All right, you little scamp. God. Yeah, okay. Kurt the Cunt came back.
Yeah.
In like one scene. He looked completely different.
Yeah, he had like an afro, didn't he? It was weird.
Who the hell is this guy? Says he was ordering like 60 fish fillets that he inevitably ended up throwing in the bin.
That annoyed me.
That annoyed the shit out of me. Yeah. Wasting food. Just, that was worse than the disembowelment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that cannot warrant it.
Properly horrible as well.
Yeah, it is.
I would have taken a fried fish over anything you were serving at that party.
I did find that scene quite funny where he went to the Chinese restaurant trying to get 60 spring rolls.
Yeah.
We're all sold out.
sold out spring rolls, yeah. Oh my God. 60 fish, yeah.
Yeah, 60 fried fish.
That's doable.
Sure.
Yeah. I was like, is there any meat in spring rolls?
I don't think so.
But what, you run out of that faster than you run out of fish?
Spring rolls are like, aren't they like a staple of Chinese takeaway food?
Yeah. Maybe that's why they ran out.
Yeah, true.
No one wants the fish.
Yeah.
More like fish fillets, which didn't look Chinese at all.
Oh, why was his second... Oh, I've never been to a Chinese and gone fried fish.
No.
His second, as soon as they said, oh, we're sold out of spring rolls, he goes, oh, fried fish then.
Yeah, next best thing.
Yeah. I was like, where's that come from?
Yeah, surely you go fish. Like chicken balls.
So yeah,
like,
exactly.
Prawn toast.
Yeah, just anything remotely Chinese. I'll have 60 fried fish, please.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Whereas it's a Chinese restaurant, mate.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sell that here.
Yeah. Should we rate this one out of fried fish?
Sure, yeah. I really want a fucking Chinese now.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Ever since I watched Tam Po Po, I've really wanted ramen.
Yeah. We've got to go out for ramen.
Yeah, definitely.
Where are like ramen places around here? Is it literally just Wagamama?
No, I think we've got a few.
Well, yeah,
I think to look it up. There's like a few.
There's one near me, I think, yeah.
Nice.
On Elm Grove, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's one in Fratton as well.
Well, that's it. We're going.
Yeah, I'll have to do it.
Cool. Take it away.
I did quite enjoy the movie when we were watching it, but I definitely think the more and more I thought about it, my opinion's gone down a bit. But I still quite like the movie, even if I think the second act is, or the second half's quite rough. But for me, that first half was so good. It does kind of redeem the movie a little bit. So I think I'd give it like 7 fried fish out of 10. Still pretty solid.
Yeah, it's all right. This is the one I'm least hyped about going back to. I probably will never watch it again. I like the guy. I like the actor a lot. He's been in a lot of good stuff. He does sort of carry it, but then he just gets like fucking mental towards the end. All right. It lost me. Sorry about that. Hugo Booger, fuck's sake.
Hugo Booger, not Hugo Boss, yeah. Yeah, 6 fried fish out of 10.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines. I think I'd go 6 fried fish out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think purely, like you said, on the strength of the first half of the film, and obviously the filmmaking's still great, that gritty, like, filmmaking style that I enjoyed throughout mm-hmm. the trilogy. So yeah, 6 fried fish out of 10, I think.
You know it's being made by a professional still.
Yeah.
Mm. Apparently he planned to do a 4th movie about the character Little Mohammed, but the actor got arrested.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That happens. That happens a lot.
Especially when all your actors are criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a solid trilogy. I don't even think that I would want a 4th one, really.
No. They did do a American remake, though.
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
I bet that's dreadful.
Probably, that sucks, yeah. It fucking sucks. They never learn their lesson. These remakes, these awful, awful remakes.
I thought about asking if we all wanted to watch it, but I just didn't think it was worth it.
No. It was long enough already. They didn't outstay its welcome, but it was just sort of, you know, it's solid enough. It's one of the better marathons I think we've done in recent times.
Yeah, I had a good time, to be fair. It's a good way to spend a Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if we've had another trilogy where all of them are good, except for like Cornetto at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm sure we could think of a few.
Maybe.
But we ain't gonna right now. Okay, so that's that. Pusher, thank you, Nicholas. So for the next episode, back to the usual, just picking a marathon from the wheel.
Yeah, Darcy will be back as well.
Darcy's back, Kai's gone forever until he inevitably comes back. So yeah, I guess we're just gonna spin the wheel. It's gonna tell us what we're gonna watch.
Ben Stiller movie.
We gotta take. No, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. Can you like? There's no way. Like, I forgot to fucking mention this to you before, but I think we should just take those fucking actors and the directors off for like 2 months.
Yeah, I agree.
To come up with a guy again.
No, it's come up with rip-off movies.
Rip-off movies. I guess we're going rip-off movie. Yeah, I'm good with that. If we can.
Oh, I've accidentally pressed
Chris
it again.
Is clearly not.
Well, you don't have to accidentally press it again. Like,
I didn't mean
to. Well, so we're just going to go with what comes up next, are we?
It depends what comes up.
Why?
Nah, fuck it.
We're doing rip-off movies.
Wait, what was the third one?
Catherine Bigelow movies.
No, thank you. I do like Catherine Bigelow, but yeah. No, thanks.
Movies that are like intended rip-offs of other movies.
Yeah.
Like,
movies that should like fucking...
like the Asylum movies and like the fake Disney sort of stuff.
Yeah, like Ratatouille.
Yeah, like that sort
that
of
kind
shit.
Of thing. So I guess I'm gonna have to do some fucking research then.
Yeah,
I have to do some research.
We all are.
Okay. Stay tuned for those. I hope Darcy doesn't mind. I'm sure she'll enjoy.
No,
it.
I think I put them on because she wanted them on there.
Right. Well, there we go. This one's for you, D. Look in the description to see what those are. I'm excited to find out what the fuck we're going to choose. And that's going to be one for the books, and probably a shorter one marathon wise for us, because they're usually quite short and to the point cash grab type things. Okay, cool. We got social media. YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon. Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod. Twitter at Sunday Movie Pod. And the rest. Thank you again, Kai, for coming on.
No worries. Thank you for having me. Always a good time.
It's always a good time.
It is, genuinely. I always have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It is great. And a good one to get to do together as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Any last words for the pod?
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you, Nicky boy. Thank you for those. See you on the other side.